Good morning to you. Your Bible's up there. Mary, you've already been to Detroit and back, correct? Yeah. I lost track of the weeks. I didn't know. I thought you'd already at least left, and it's good to have you back. Mo, how's your shoulder feeling? Not same. That wasn't good. Hurts. But we are very pleased to see both of you with us today, and our sister Dorothy is here with us, if you haven't seen her in class. She was already giving me a bad time, so she is back to form. It's great. Absolutely great. Philippians 2:25-30 reads, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me." I invite you to underline the phrase, "and honor people like him." And I would like to highlight, my purpose this morning is to highlight two people from our group. But I want to honor Jesus by highlighting the lives of two people, two of his faithful servants. We may have had people here in this local congregation who have, as we say, gone on before us, who may have not almost died for the work of Christ in the same way that Epaphroditus did. We all have different lives and different experiences and opportunities and all those things. No, not a single one of us is the same. So we're not going to be in the same exact situation as Epaphroditus. But Paul is encouraging them to honor people like him. And the two that I am setting forth before you this morning, yes, we want to honor them, but above that, we want to honor Jesus Christ by highlighting their lives. And the first one is our brother Dwayne Shoemaker, looking at his example of faithfulness. He abandoned his earthly shell tent on October 9th, 2017. Now this brother in Christ infused his mind with the Word of God, with the words of God. Please read with me Psalm 94. Where's that gadget that moves the slides remotely? I am not seeing it. Oh, it's right in front of my nose. Okay. There we go. There's Philippians 2:25. Psalm 94:12. "Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. I would like to illuminate and highlight with an imaginary yellow highlighter the phrase, the one you teach from your law. And in the case of our brother Dwayne, and you can't separate him from Dorothy, Dwayne and Dorothy infuse their minds with the Word of God. I'm not just referring to the law of Moses. I'm referring to Genesis through Revelation. We talked about this in class this morning. Mountains. I could go downstairs because I retrieved months ago, before Dwayne even found out he had cancer, that I retrieved months ago videotapes of classes that Dwayne and Dorothy were purging from their home, and I put a lot of them downstairs. They are VHS tapes. So if any of you still have a VHS player, you can go down there and look to. Actually, on November 5th, we're going to clean up that room because we've got a lot of class material, and those tapes are just piled right in the middle of them. So they need to be organized. But Dwayne and Dorothy, every day, would, in the mornings, watch at least one of those videotapes. Joyce can attest to this because there were some years where she went over to their house and joined them in that, watching Bible classes. So they infuse their minds with the knowledge and the Word of God. And they didn't just absorb knowledge, but they lived it and are living it in the form of good works. I recall when, some of you may remember when Kelly and I and Lane moved up to McLean, then Evan was born, and then Marion. And we were living on McLean, and one Sunday we were all sick, my family. And after worship period time, Dwayne and Dorothy pulled up, and they have a big old bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. They were thinking of those who were ill and couldn't make it to assembly. And I'm assuming that's just an example of some of the deeds of kindness. They're very generous to others that way and financially. And I will mention some of the other things that they did in that regard. I want to switch from infusing one's mind with the words of God to, and this may sound strange, but the Song of Songs. I want to read an excerpt from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 8 through 13. Here we find a description of pure, rich, deep, untainted, genuine love between a man and a woman. And I take the viewpoint that the main character is a young woman who's been taken by the king into his courts from the country. And the king is basically wooing her, but she's in love with a man from the country. That's the view I take. There's several different views, but that's what we're taking here, a love story. And she says, "Listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look. There he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice." She's imagining him because she cannot be with him. "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me.'" So she's speaking, and then he speaks. This excerpt provides the essence and a great description of the love connecting our brother Dwayne and our sister Dorothy. Dwayne joined the Navy in 1943 at the age of 17, and they were married in 1944. That has to be right, because 1944 plus 7, 73 is 2017. 73 years of marriage. That's unheard of in our culture today, isn't it? You're doing good if you make 10 years or 5 or 3. It keeps going down, doesn't it? 73. They were inseparable. They always spoke tenderly and affectionately to each other and about each other. For example, before Duane found out he had cancer, it was in May, June, somewhere in there, I popped over for one of my weekly visits to their place and was walking up to the front door. They have a solid door, and then instead of a screen door, it's a solid glass door. And the large door, solid door, was open, so you could see through the house, and I could, as I approached the house, through the living room, there's that gigantic green sofa they had there, and they were on the other side of it, sitting together on another sofa facing the front door. So I'm walking in, there they are on the sofa looking through the glass at me, holding hands. They weren't waiting for me, they didn't know I was coming. Do you know what they were waiting for? Meals on Wheels. Now that's love. That's love, folks. You can sit, hold hands on the sofa, waiting for Meals on Wheels. That is precious. That was a highlight of their day. And I'm not putting them down for that. I just think it's neat. I mean, how many people do you think about holding hands, waiting for Meals on Wheels? Did everything together. And Luke 9. 61 through 62. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Duane and Dorothy became disciples of Christ when they were immersed into Christ in 1969. So they were around 44 years of age when they became followers of Christ. And they have never looked back. Duane spent a lot of time with fellows like Dick Radke down in the North Seattle group, going around teaching people the good news, encouraging and exhorting. Duane and Dorothy helped this group secure this building in a financial way as a meeting place. Ted found it. Others were involved, Terry and Shirley. And Duane and Dorothy, I believe, helped out tremendously financially in securing this place of meeting. They were generous and rich in good works. And I've already given you the KFC illustration. Random acts of kindness. Think about it, folks. Duane lived 92 years. There's a lot of history there. And loads of accomplishments. And how do you even document that? But we were privileged and blessed as a local group to know them. And we certainly love Dorothy. And we want to continue to encourage and build her up and help her through this time of grief. Let's turn our attention to our sister, Lynn Dilley. Lynn is Lisa's mom, our sister Lisa Moore. If you've been here 20 years and you do not know who the Moore family is, we have a problem, Houston. It means we need to get together more. Spend more time together or something. Lynn Dilley spent time in the Word. One reason I know that is I have her Bible here in my hand. And, underlining and notes in a Bible give you a little bit of an insight into a person's heart. I would like to read Psalm 43, 8 through 10. She underlined this passage. And I came across it. She has a lot of underlining in the New Testament, but there is some underlining in the Old. Plenty of it. Psalm 143, 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Now, I know all of us have this verse in our Bibles, but the fact that Lynn underlined this and highlighted this tells me something about her. Especially that phrase, for I have put my trust in you. Psalm 139, 5 through 6, she also underlined this. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And Lynn wrote in the notes, seal of possession. So laying hand upon me, I interpret that as she's saying that this means a seal of possession. In other words, I belong to you. She wrote that in there too. I belong to you. So I'm taking that as this is something that meant a lot to her. She belongs to the Lord. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, some of you may not have known Lynn all that well, and especially her husband, Bill. Bill and Lynn moved to the Pacific Northwest in the early 90s for a few years, and then they moved back to California, realized that they really did miss Washington, and they moved back up here in the late 90s. And Bill died suddenly in 2002. Some of you may remember that, an aneurysm, very quickly. Lynn began succumbing to Alzheimer's somewhere between 2003, 2006. I know at least to 2006 because I have a note here that she actually wrote. Her mind allowed her to write a note. Howbeit, she suffered for 14 years with Alzheimer's, and she left her earthly dwelling on September 19th. Her husband, Bill, Lisa tells me, Bill related to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was zealous and fervent, going in one direction, and then had a face-to-face, we might say, with the Lord, and did an about-turn and went the other direction, just as fervently and zealously and full of energy, serving Christ. So Bill related to Paul because his life, he was had a Catholic background, was going gung-ho one way, and then learned the way of Christ more accurately, and it was through Lynn, and turned around, did a complete turnaround for Christ. So his favorite character was Paul. Lynn related to John. The Apostle John, the one Patrick read from this morning, to John. The book of John is loaded with the I ams of Christ. Do you know what I mean by that? I am the bread of life, chapter 6. I am the light of the world, 8. I am the door of the sheep, 10. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10, also. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 14. I am the true vine. So ask yourself this question. Did Lynn trust in Jesus as the I am, the Son of Man, the Son of God? Yeah, she did. In this Bible here, in the front, she's actually written out a hymn. And at the bottom, she says, page 378 in Songbook Sacred Selections. I'll read just the first verse and the chorus. The title is Trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. The chorus, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Lynn trusted in Jesus. And her favorite character was John. He's also described as the disciple of love. And Patrick was pointing this out this morning. Lynn demonstrated love to others. I want to read a little excerpt of her life, which doesn't necessarily demonstrate her love to others, but it leads up to the time period where she did demonstrate a lot of love to others through her family. She was born near Clinton, Arkansas on Crabtree, 1934. And Lynn, who was the second of four children, was raised in a family where her father worked in the coal mines during her childhood. In Lynn's journal, she recalls her chores being setting the table, gathering eggs from the hens while avoiding the rooster, driving in the cows for milking, and gathering wood. She enjoyed the outdoors, reading the Bobbsey Twins and playing with paper dolls. Her favorite Bobbsey Twin book was, quote, The Twins at the Seashore, which fascinated her because she had never seen oceans or seashells. This is an Arkansas person we're talking about here. This would change for Lynn when, at the age of 9, Lynn and her family moved to Elderwood, California, where her father had taken a job. So she grew up and attended school in California. At the age of 20, she took a job working at the newly opened Disneyland, where she worked alongside soda boy Steve Martin at the Golden Horseshoe and saw Mr. Walt Disney himself when he came to see the employees. She celebrated her 21st birthday there and had her picture, in Life magazine. On December 4th, 1959, Lynn married William Dilley in a small ceremony in her parents' living room in Buena Park, California. They would go on to raise their 6 children together and have 16 grandchildren and great-grandchildren after that. So there in Buena Park, Lisa tells me Bill and Lynn always had people coming in and out of the home. And I take that to mean family members, but also in the neighborhood. There was hospitality being shown in that home. Lots of hospitality. And as far as good works, the family, Bill and Lynn, would pack up the truck with goods like furniture, I understand, kitchen utensils and stuff like that, food and clothing. Throw the kids back there with all that stuff in a pickup truck. This is Buena Park, California. Drive down to Tijuana in Mexico and deliver that stuff to needy people down there on a regular basis, quite a few occasions. It was a family outing, taking things down to Tijuana, Mexico, for the needy down there. There was a period of time where Lynn had a nephew who was a heroin addict. He found himself in jail. And during that time, she always visited him once a week. And Lisa knows this because she went with her mom, visit this nephew once a week. We talked about Dwayne and Dorothy's love for each other. How about Lynn's love for her husband? I'll read a note, and I know it's personal, but it gives you an insight. And this is August 15th, 2003. My darling Bill, it is a Friday night. This is after he has left us, her. It's a Friday night, and I miss you like crazy. Just wanted to say, and he quotes, I'll love you forever and like you for always. She quotes, through all eternity, my sweetheart, you'll be, unquote. I think that's from a song. Watch for me. I hope your face will be the first I see. I love you, Lynn. She loved not just Bill, but others. I know this because this note ends my love to all. And she says, she's talking to you people and her family especially, but I think we can include us. I want you to have a good life. I know you are going to miss me. Thankful for your love, in parentheses, but time will help. I will always be with you in spirit. You know that, and I'll believe it. It does not matter who we are or what we came from. It is where you're going and how you get there that counts. For one day and one night, not one second longer, weep for me if you must. Then go on with your life. And then she underlines this phrase. Build your bridge for eternity and meet me there. That's a great thought, isn't it? I don't know if she came up with that or saw that somewhere, but build your bridge for eternity and meet me there. My love to all, Lynn, June 6, 2006. So we are talking about a godly woman who lived a godly life and did not forfeit her faith. Psalm 92 reads, well, there's one of Lynn's passages. Psalm 92:12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedars of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." I am so glad I came across this verse, because I think this describes not only Lynn, but Dwayne. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in their old age, they'll bear fruit. They will stay fresh and green. We stay fresh and green if we're in Christ, right? Because the Spirit's being renewed. That's why it's so important, people, that we share the good news, because the world is decaying and dying spiritually, and there's with no hope, and they grow old in their age. That's all they're looking forward to, is growing old in their age. And it's like Ecclesiastes says, there's no fun in that. But is there a life hereafter? And that's what we want to think about. Whether or not you knew Lynn or Dwayne or Ward or Alma, who a year ago this month left her earthly tent, or Tom Burgum, or others who have left us, do you have any desire to reunite with them after this life? Are you confident of where you're headed after you die, when you die? The blessed assurance for us is through Jesus Christ. He is the way to salvation. Yes, it involves dying to sin. It involves dying to self, putting away selfish desires, putting away worldly ways, and walking a new path and walking in the light. Dying to sin is a recreation, a reenactment of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there are sure promises of abundant life now and into the life hereafter if you believe Jesus as the Son of God. It doesn't take long to get the water ready. If there's anyone here who's not made Jesus their Lord, don't hesitate. Now is a good time to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and to be assured of His wonderful blessings. What are you waiting for? Let's stand and sing.